The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome to Afternoons with Mike. So happy that you're here. We come your way every day at this time across the Shepherd Radio Network, and I am so honored to have a new friend in the studio with me here today. Mike Sadler is a pastor in the Central Florida area, up in the Ocala area, and I'm going to let him tell you all about his church and where he actually broadcasts from, where he lives. But first of all, just to say, on this eve of Thanksgiving, Mike, we're grateful for you and for the ministry. You actually have a teaching ministry that's on this radio station, the stations in Ocala, Gainesville. So first of all, welcome, brother.
Thank you, sir. It's so good to be here, and I'm just pleasantly grateful to be here on your show.
Well, I'm happy to have you on the program. Now, Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where you live, where your church is, and what you do there.
Well, I live in Inverness, Florida, and I go to Fort Cooper Baptist Church. Now, I'm not the pastor there, but we're heavily involved, and our pastor supports us spiritually. Our church supports us financially, and we're just trying to get the gospel out to the community everywhere that we possibly can, and encourage other Christians to do the same as well. And we're on the radio here, as you already know. And we're so thankful and grateful at the doors that God has opened through this. And he continues to provide our needs as we go around to different churches, presenting our ministry, preaching, telling people about the radio station. And just God's been good, opening so many doors.
Now, have you ever served in a church like as a pastor of that particular church?
No, sir. Just teaching Sunday school, heavily involved, but not pastoring. Now, I have preached everywhere. We went to a juvenile center for 7 years straight every week, different jails, different prisons, but not as that in that position as a pastor. God has opened the door for me to do other things. And I have a good pastor, Pastor Monty Palmady at Fort Cooper Baptist Church. And he's a great pastor if you'd like to attend church there. And I'm heavily involved, but I believe God has called me to other things other than that.
It's so amazing to me to talk to somebody like yourself who has such a passion and work so hard. And you're actually a speaker in a lot of churches. You go around and you've preached the word in churches, not just on the radio, but it is delightfully exciting to see how God is using you. And he is using you. Here is a guy that has a heart to do something, and the Lord has blessed your ministry, and it's growing through the radio, and it's reaching people.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what it's all about. That's what Jesus commanded us to do. Nowhere did he command sinners to come to church. He commanded us to go into the world and proclaim the gospel. And this is an avenue God has allowed us with the radio. Of course, we have other means too, but this is one of the huge way that God has opened the door for us.
It's not every day that I get to have a truly radio preacher, that is really where the big part of your ministry is.
Yes, sir.
And that's what you're doing. So tell me a little bit about how you came to know the Lord in the beginning. What was your background like?
Well, let me tell you, I was raised in a very good Christian home. My parents were very strict. They were good, godly people. Took me to church faithfully every day. My dad always joked I was a drug baby because I was drugged to church every Sunday. There was no question about it. There was no choice.
Good.
You were either in the hospital or you were going to church.
You were a drug baby.
You
I like that.
You weren't getting out of it. And so I grew up in a good home that gave me a good foundation. But Mike, I had all this head knowledge, but it wasn't in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And even as I was telling you earlier, a man in the church when I was in high school said, "Hey, I'm going to get you a job." I did not ask him. He came to me and said, "I'm going to get you a job." And I got a job at a local country music station as a DJ after school. And I did the swap shop live on the air, if you have anything buy, sell, or trade. And here years later, I didn't know this, but God was preparing me to be preaching on the radio someday.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing
that
how
is God, crazy.
God works? And so I didn't get saved as a real young person, but I had all this head knowledge, and I was even going to church when I got saved. And, but one day God showed me, "Listen, Michael, if you don't get saved, you're going to wind up in hell." And so here I am, was trying to be a good person, be a good husband, good father, but I wasn't born again. And that's what the Bible says. Ye must be born again. And I, one of my burning passions comes from, Mike, is there's so many people, I believe, even in church, that have never made that personal decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
You know, I don't know how old I was when I first heard it, but I know it was somewhere around my high school years when that joke came around that went along the lines of sitting in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in McDonald's makes you a hamburger. I mean, that was the joke back then. And it was, you know, it's popped up from generation to generation with different meanings. And it's so true. The heart of it is that there are a lot of people who probably have a thought that they're okay and they don't understand, first of all, what it is to be a believer, what it's based on, and it's not based on our efforts or my good works or your good works. It's based on the good work of another.
That's right.
Who went to the cross and paid I love that old song, he paid the debt that he did not owe, and I owed a debt that I could not pay.
Right.
But Jesus was able to pay my debt for me, even though he owed no debt.
Right.
That's the grace of God.
But he loved you enough to pay that debt for you.
Isn't that something? The gospel,
yes.
The good news of Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
That he made a way when we didn't have a way. And that's exactly what he did for you.
Mm-hmm. He sure did. And that has what has lit a fire of me. I've been on fire for the Lord, you know, the past few years is I just want other people to be saved. Even the people that are in church, the people that they may be a deacon or an usher or a trustee. And they're doing the best that they can in their own heart is what they're thinking.
Now, when I hear you say that, I've got to just interrupt a moment and say, people must look at you and the enthusiasm and the zeal, because you have a job. You work a job. It's a good job.
Yes, sir.
And you've got a family. Mm-hmm. You could be very satisfied with those two things, attending a church, which you do.
Right.
But even beyond the fact that you're on the radio doing that, just going beyond that, why or what kind of an answer when people say, why are you so fired up? Why are you so happy? And they're looking at you and they're really asking an honest question. And I think it's a question that a lot of people in a lot of churches need to hear your answer. Mike, why are you so joyful?
Why am I so joyful to serve the Lord and giving of my time and money and efforts and everything? Because I want those to have what I have, what I missed out on for so them years having the head knowledge, but it wasn't in the heart, Mike. And there are so many like that. And that's what God's called us to do. Hey, it's great to have a job, a good family, go to church every Sunday, but he's called every one of us to so much more than that. He said, go. Right? Gospel starts with G-O. That's the first two letters in it. That means get up and go. And like I said, if you're not careful, you'll get in this Christian bubble to where that's all you hang around. That's all you talk to. That's all you sit with at church. You create this bubble for yourself, and you have got to get outside of that bubble. It's because we naturally go to our comfort zone. And when you step outside of that, and it bothers people, and it still bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I love the Lord so much. I love those people, but most of all, I love the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so my answer would be because I'm loving him so much, I want to do what he commanded me to do. And that's to go into the world and preach the gospel and tell people about it. Amen.
What happens to you when you do that?
What happens? The Lord puts a joy in your heart that is unexplainable because you're obeying what he told you to do, what he commanded you to do. And he says that my joy might be in you, right? It's not your own joy. It's not a joy that the world or money can give you, but it's his joy that he puts in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that can compare to that. And God, every time I go out and preach, witness, hold up a sign, whatever I'm doing, preach on the radio, God fills my cup up with his joy. And that has what has made me so zealous to want to serve him.
Did this happen immediately when you came to the Lord? Did this this feeling of contentment and joy, did that fill you from the beginning when you actually did invite him in?
Yes. I mean, I was so I was on fire for him because I loved him. I was scared to death to tell anybody about him, though. I'll just be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first time I got up to preach, it probably lasted 5 minutes, and I said all I knew. You know, it. And the first time I witnessed to somebody, I was so nervous. I was sweating bullets. But like anything else, the more you do it, the more it becomes easy to you, you know? And then you start to realize that, yeah, they're going to reject you. They may not like you, but ultimately it's not you they're rejecting.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Lord they're rejecting.
I remember hearing years ago a message that basically talked about prayer, and it put it in these things. It was called the 3D approach to prayer, that what you begin with discipline, and that discipline begins to lead to desire because you change as you're doing it. You might only be doing it in the beginning because you have this desired to obey the Lord, but you don't have the burning passion that you're talking about. You just discipline yourself to do it. But that does open up the door to the second D of desire. And then you find yourself actually desiring to do it because it's good. It's good for you. And then finally, if you do something out of discipline that led to desire, it opens the door to delight.
Yes.
And it sounds to me that that's what's happened to you.
Yes.
As you delight in God.
I do. And as you obey him, it may not happen to you at first, but then again, it might. But for me, the more I got in God's word, the more knowledge I got of him, the more I obeyed what he told me to do, the more of a desire I had for him, for me to obey what he had for me to do, and the more joy that he would put in my heart as I did those things. And it's just so amazing what God can do with a person that even the world would throw away, or we would throw away. And God says, I can use that person. Because when something great comes through them or from them, you know, they didn't do it. That power came from an outside source. And that was God working through them. And to me, that is just one of the most amazing things to see in people, is that transformation. And that even gives me more joy and more zealous to serve the Lord, you know?
Well, when you see somebody change, and more importantly for you, when you see your own heart change, when you realize I'm starting to think differently than I did before, it really does make a difference.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, Mike. It really does. And one of the things, as I got saved and served the Lord, and like I said, as I look back, I worked at that country music station.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, an interesting fact is that's the only country music station that I have preaching on is the town that I grew up in every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. The same time as I'm on here. And that's just another door that God opened. How could I have ever worked that out, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that they offered me the same time as I'm on this network. And I went back to that town. That's because that's where I grew up. I wasn't saved. And those people know me. And I want them to have the gospel. And I prayed about it. And God opened that door.
Mm.
And I tell you what, if there's something that you're zealous about, if you'll pray about it fast, seek God's will, God's way, he will open that door for you.
I believe it. I believe it. Now I have to ask this one question that follows up with all that. Those that knew you during that time when you made that commitment and God gave you this burning passion, the zeal, what did they say about the difference that they were seeing in Mike Sadler?
It was hard for them to believe, I'll be honest. Even the people I grew up around, they're like, well, that doesn't sound like you. But, you know, God changes your heart. And I tell you this, even with my own parents, they're like, you are transforming right before our very eyes, is what my dad said. And so it's just amazing how God does that with a person. And as you obey him and do his will, and I thank the Lord for it. Thank to God for good parents who invested in me, even though I wasn't saved.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a child that's wayward, listen, don't give up on them. God has their number. He can reach them.
What would you say to yourself? And by that, here's what I mean. Assuming we have somebody right now that might be in the same exact same place that you found yourself in, a head knowledge of God, maybe raised in a church, maybe questions, maybe bad experiences kept them from going on into faith, but they know the word, they know enough of the word that they know they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. If you could look back and to yourself in that moment and realizing that you're really speaking to somebody who is in that place right now, what would you say?
I would say, don't wait, because it doesn't matter what the people at church think. It doesn't matter what the pastor think. It doesn't matter what your family or friends think. All that matters is what God thinks and how he sees you. And I tell you, Mike, what really got me thinking is I don't want to die is hell. Because if you read what the Bible says about hell, it says there's weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth, gnawing of tongue, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And I tell you, Mike, the more I thought about that at night, laying down in bed, and I thought, man, if I don't open my eyes in the morning, I'm going to be like the rich man, lift up my eyes in hell. And was it fear that pushed me to the Lord? Absolutely. But Proverbs 1:7 tells you the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I would tell them, listen, don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Don't worry about religion. Don't worry about none of that stuff, but just worry about being right with the Lord, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Well, I'll tell you what, when we look back after such a moment like that, I think that's one of the problems in America. So many believers have lost the fear of God.
Yes.
We don't live as if it matters. I know that that is something that affects us all. We can all be tempted with that thing of duplicity, of knowing one thing and doing another. And that's not good. That's a being double-minded. And we all know that the book of James instructed us not to be double-minded. You know, we're going to be tossed about in our life. And I think that the fear of the Lord is indeed the beginning of wisdom. And we look back on it after we come to the Lord and we say, you know, I'm really going to trust the Lord with this. It's really evident in that moment that it's really the kindness of God that he did call us out of that and into repentance, because if we would have received from him what we deserved in those moments of doubting, in those moments of sowing all those wild oats, my goodness, he could have just given us what we deserve. But instead, he gave us that open door.
That's right.
He called us to himself.
He showed us grace and mercy when we didn't even deserve it.
That's right.
And that's true love. When you really love somebody, it's funny how a man will fall in love with a woman. Well, once he does that, he does not mind giving her everything else that he has, checkbook included, right? Because he loves her. He wants her to have all the things that he has. And I think that's how Jesus seen us, but on a much greater level. I want you to be with me. You know, that fellowship.
These are great thoughts, especially on the eve of Thanksgiving, as we are, that we need to be thankful for the fact that God called us out. When I look back at my life, when I look back at the decisions that I could have made that I didn't, and I look at the decisions that I did make that I wish I hadn't, both of those things cause me to go to my knees and say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for calling me out. And that's exactly what he did to you.
Yes, sir. He sure did. And as I got more zealous, as you were talking about, asked me where all the zeal comes from. And fear plays a big part in that, Christians getting out and doing what God wants them to do. Did you know that, Mike? I really believe that. They're fearful of stepping out on faith, because faith is doing something when you can't see it, right? It's just trusting God. And that's what's prompted me to write this book, Fearless Christian, because there's so many out there that I think God can do amazing things with, but they allow fear to stop them. I can't do that. I can't say that. I can't go there. And, that's what that desire was, to help those people to see fear through the eyes of Scripture, because some fear is even good for you. You know, the fear of sticking your hand in a fire keeps you from getting burnt, right? That's a good fear.
That's a great fear.
That's a great fear. Yeah. And so when you start seeing God's Bible like that, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, man, the more that you fear the Lord, but the more that you love him also, and the more that you want to do his work, his way. And so that's where the book came from, because I wanted people to have that fire, that zealous to step out on faith and do what God wants them to do.
Wonderful. Mike Sadler is my guest. He is from Inverness and has a radio program called Crossbound Ministries. It is on 8 o'clock in the morning up on our stations in Ocala and Gainesville, on WRZN in Ocala, 720 AM, also 103.5 FM. And it's on in Gainesville at 1430 AM and also at 96.3 FM in Gainesville. That's Crossbound Ministries. Mike Sadler is the speaker and the preacher, and he's on fire for God. And I'm glad he's with us. Glad you're with us too. Stay here. We'll be right back with Afternoons with Mike coming up in just a moment. Sitting in my studio today is Mike Sadler from Inverness, and he is heard on the radio program Crossbound Ministries. What a fascinating story in segment one to hear a young man raised in a good family, raised in church, but like so many people, not affected the way God wanted you to be affected, nominal in your actual faith, and in your words, would have been a non-believer. You had not been born again.
That's correct.
By your faith, but God called you. And I love those two words, but God. That is that interruption in one's life. When God comes around and you say, well, I may have been going this way and I may have been believing that, but God intervened. I'm glad for that interruption right there.
Amen.
He can butt into that part of our lives anytime, and he does by the grace of God. Now, you're married. You have a family. Tell us about that.
Yes, I do. I'm married to Dana Sadler. She is a great and wonderful wife. What a godly woman. And she supports me going around preaching the radio program. If you listen to our radio program on Sunday at 8 o'clock in the morning, she's the one that doing the introduction. That's her voice.
Okay.
That's my wife.
All right.
And it's a
family program.
It's a family. And if you hear, if you listen, you'll hear a little kid on there saying, amen, praise the Lord.
I've heard that too.
That's my son who's 7 years old, Isaac Jeremiah Sadler.
Oh my goodness.
And our other daughter that's at Pensacola Christian College, we have her on the board of our ministry. So that it's a family affair. It's not just me. It's my whole family. And if you buy a copy of our book on crossboundministry.com, there's a picture of me and her on the back.
Okay.
And what a great wife she is. And how we met is very, very funny story, I'll be honest with you. We were set up by a Christian school teacher on a date many years ago, and it was a blind date. And we were to meet at a restaurant. And so I did speak to her on the phone, and she said, well, just stand out front at a certain time and I'll meet you. Well, lo and behold, I didn't know, but she drove around the restaurant a few times checking me out before she stopped and parked, decided she was coming in.
Well, sizing up the date here.
Yes, sir. Well, she must have liked what she saw, because many years later, here we are married with kids. And, God is good. He has just worked everything out. And I'm so thankful for a wife that is so supportive of our radio ministry, of, the books and the tracts that we've printed, and she goes out with me holding up signs on the road and preaching, and it's just a great and wonderful thing to have a good, godly wife.
That supports the ministry and supports a guy like yourself that is fired up. And I think the issue of evangelism and sharing the gospel is something that it's part of my heart as well, and part of the excitement about our radio ministry, because we never realize even where this program is going to be heard. I'm always surprised at people's telling me who and how they listened, and how it just so happened, either through being on air or the podcast later going out and someone listening to it. We just never know, but I believe God's given that call. It's a clarion call to share the gospel with other people.
Yes.
I love it how you said it earlier. We're to go.
We're to go. That's the first two letters in gospel, go, correct? And as I spoke to Brother Meeks about, putting a preaching on the radio, and that was the beginning of it. And since then, I've preached in many churches in Citrus County, promoting our program and the radio station, and also for support for our ministry. And we've had several listeners start supporting us.
Now, that's Gary Meeks,
yes,
who is a radio person who helps a lot of ministries across the country. He works with us with a lot of the ministries that are heard here on The Shepherd. How did you meet Gary?
Well, I actually sent an email to a substation, and somehow it made it to him. And he even said he don't know how it made it to him. It went through so many people. And so it had to be the Lord, right?
Oh, wow.
And Brother Meeks has really helped me, gave me a lot of good advice, and I'm very thankful. And it's here we are, close to 2 years later, and God's got the ministry thriving and doing well and reaching people for him.
That's so exciting. Now, tell us a little bit about your format of your radio program for people who have not heard it. What can they expect when they tune into Crossbound?
Well, for the past year, I've been going through the Gospel of John. I went through the whole Gospel of John, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and I just completed that this past Sunday. And so next I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to pick another book, and I think I'm going to go through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, mm-hmm. verse by verse. Mm-hmm. And I love expository preaching. You know, you could take a verse and make it say anything, but when you put it in its context, it tells you what God is trying to tell mm-hmm. you. And so I love that. And so that's my next mission is I might have a couple regular sermons, but next I'll go through the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John verse by verse, just, you know, preaching God's word, explaining it, and expository preaching.
Did you have any radio guys that were ministers doing teaching on the radio that would have been models for you, that would have been people that you looked up to and maybe greatly impacted from?
Yes. Not one that I've actually met, but I've listened to a lot of Oliver B. Green's stuff, and just his raw truth of he was himself. He wasn't trying to be anybody else, and he was just doing what God had shown him to do. And I just like the way he did that. Was he a little bit rough around the edges sometimes? Sure he was. That's his style or his personality. Mm-hmm. But he was himself, and that's what God has called us to be, me and you. And so I like him, and I've listened to a lot of Adrian Rogers also. Mm-hmm. He's a very good preacher.
He's on our station, Love Worth Finding.
Yes. Yes,
he and he is. Passed away a number of years ago, and his program is still there. And when you listen to him, it is shocking how relevant he still is to this day.
Yes, isn't that amazing? I listen to sermons from 50, 60 years ago, but they apply to my heart today. And that's the Word of God doing that, because it never goes out of date and never goes out of style. He's always current. It's always a current affair with the Bible. He speaks to you directly today through his Word.
Mm-hmm. Hey, he's been a favorite for a long, long time. Anybody else that you really have been affected by?
Well, them two mainly, you know, mm-hmm. Oliver Green, Adrian Rogers. I've listened to, you know, some Charles Stanley, some Paul Chappell, some a little bit of everybody. Mm-hmm. But probably those two are the main. And just because of their solid truth, you know, they didn't waver. They didn't go off preaching something that really doesn't matter. But they stuck to the things that made eternal differences. And that's what I want to stay with, because in 100 years, if my kids are listening or grandkids, I want it to be relevant, like you're talking about, you know? And so when you stick with the Bible, like I'm doing with doing expository preaching, going through books of the Bible, it doesn't matter how much time passes, it's going to be relevant for that time.
You know, so many people are hearing this, and they might be part of a church that would not be as, let's say, as regular at expository preaching, much more topical. And this might seem odd, but for explanation, that basically means taking the Bible and teaching through the Word and letting the Word speak. And I love that, letting the Bible interpret itself, letting the Bible speak with the power. And I think a lot of times when I was growing up, a lot of people felt they had to embellish the Bible. And I don't mean we don't ever tell stories, because I think that illustrations really do help, but it's not a critical component. The Bible is strong enough to stand on its own.
Yes, that's correct.
And boy, the power therein is amazing.
Yes. And Billy Graham said that. He said the Bible has the power built within it. You don't have to add anything to it. It doesn't need anything from you. It has its own built-in power. Thus saith the Lord, God says. Mm-hmm. And I love that about what he said. And also J. Vernon McGee, he had the Through the Bible radio program, mm-hmm. and that was just profound. He went through it book by book, explaining it. And to me, that those are things that you'll remember. They'll mm-hmm. sink in. Now, there's some great topical sermons out there. I'm not taking away from them, but that's the style that I like. Mm-hmm. You know, it just gives you a deeper, deeper understanding of God's word.
Why radio? Why did you feel in the beginning that radio was going to be your target area? Why do you think that was?
I think God just put it on my heart. As I went down to the substation, I actually went down there and looked at it in the woods, and I thought about when I was a country music DJ many mm-hmm. years ago when I was in high school, and it was just a feeling the Lord gave me. And I didn't know if it was going to happen, but it certainly did. Mm-hmm. And you think about it. With radio, you can go places where they would never let you in, Mike. Where they would not ever open, you could knock on the door to tell them about the Lord and they would slam it in your face, but they'll listen to a radio program. Or I get a lot of letters from prisons. Mm-hmm. You know, those fences don't stop that radio signal from going behind that fence. I get letters from the adult ladies in Lowell. you know, saying how blessed they are. And if I could share this story, a lady started writing to me and several times how blessed she was. She listened to the program every Sunday. She says, I wait for you to come on.
In jail.
In prison.
In prison.
And it turns out that I had preached at another church several times and knew her parents. Well, lo and behold, she's listening to the radio while she's in prison, and her parents are listening to my radio program in Inverness, and I didn't even know it. And they didn't know it till they started talking and put two and two together. Now, that's a God thing. God's all over that.
That's amazing.
And just many instances like that I could give you where the Lord has just opened up so many doors. Mike, when I went to open the P.O. box for our radio program, I walked into the mail room and told him what I was doing. And I said, Gary Meek said, hey, try to get a low number because it's easy for people to remember. So I go in, I tell the fellow that this is what he says, Mike. One just came open today. P.O. Box 7. He said, it must be the Lord or he wouldn't give you his number.
P.O. Box 7.
So it's Crossbound Ministry, P.O. Box 7, Inverness, Florida.
Oh my goodness.
And so,
I mean, even the number 7 was just so often the number of completion, the number of perfection.
And then the mail clerk saying that it must be God. He wouldn't give you his number if he didn't want you to have it.
Unreal.
And I tell you what, Mike. And so when you say that question, how do you know it was radio? Just all these little things, they don't happen by coincidence. God just opens those doors.
Mm.
Another time I had a lady come up, hand me $400 and say, this is for your radio ministry and put it toward that. And she said, don't tell nobody my name. She didn't want nobody to know mm-hmm. that she gave it to me.
Mm.
And it's just, that's got God all over it.
Mm.
And that's where we're probably different than most missionaries, evangelists. Me and my wife both work full time.
Mm-hmm.
She has a really good job. I have a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But we both want to serve God so much that God's opened these doors. You know, we're on the radio. We go to different churches preaching. And if there's a church out there that'd love us to come and preach at your church, we'd love to. You can find us on crossboundministry.com.
Mm-hmm.
And pick up a copy of our new book there. And so that's where we're different. So any dollar that somebody gives, it goes to the ministry to promote it on the radio and other means. And we give a lot of our own. And so we're different than most missionaries in that aspect, is that, you know, just God has blessed us with that. And so we're thankful.
I like the fact that you refer to yourself in that way as a missionary, because you are bringing the word. And I'm telling you what, you may not be doing that overseas, but there's a mission field that God has given you, and it's right here. And that's true for so many of us.
Yes.
But I don't think a lot of us realize that God could be giving people ministries the way he has given you, and he's born this in your heart. It's there, and it's working, and it's evident that you're doing a work for God that he's called you to do.
We have a great mission field right here in America, right here in Florida. And there's so many that are unreached. Do you know how many people that I have met? Everybody I've ever met knows about Jesus Christ. He dies on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where the problem lies, Mike. They don't understand the real gospel message and how to be saved. They don't really understand what that means. They know Christ died for them. They know that's what Christmas is about. But they don't have a real understanding of the gospel. And we're talking about right here in America.
Mm-hmm.
I run into it every day. One young man sat down in my office and literally asked me, Mike, what does it mean to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to explain that to him.
Mm.
And I've even heard people say, well, there's churches on every corner if they really wanted God. But that's not in the Bible. God said, get up and go. Go preach the word, spread the word.
Be a doer of the word.
Be a doer. And that's not a suggestion, Mike. That's a commandment that he has given us. And so if somebody's not doing that, they got to realize that they're really disobeying God.
Mm. Now, we're living in a day and an age where a lot of Christians are mocked and looked down on. And sometimes I think some of that has come maybe deservedly, because we're not always the most enthusiastic. We might even have some Eeyores among us, naysayers. But then along comes a guy like Mike Sadler, who is on fire, positive, excited, joyful.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people just don't know what kind of category to put all that into.
I know, Mike. And I've seen twofold. Some people are probably just lazy, and I'm not being mean. They're just a little bit on the Eeyore side, as you would put it. And then there's other Christians in the church that, you know, they've been hurt so bad and they've let that get to them. And so what they've done is they take a step back and they take a step back and they take a step back. And before you know it, you're sitting in the back pew in your heart, really. And you don't have God sitting on the throne of your heart. And so that's where your enthusiasm will go away, you know. And so I've had to even realize that myself with all the hurts that I've had, Mike, that, you know, they're just people. Mm-hmm. And you got to love them whether they hurt you or not. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus did. I mean, the disciples, you know, Peter denied him three times.
Okay, so you're talking about something really important right now. Take a moment, develop that. Encourage somebody's heart,
yes, sir,
who has some need for unforgiveness right now.
Yes, and there's a lot of that. Even within the church, in church, you know, there's good people, but sometimes people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are hurting hurt other people. And so some of the things that I've went through, and I even had COVID and laid in the hospital for 7 days. I don't know if you know that.
I did not.
And God revealed so many things to me in my heart about even some bitterness I was hanging on to. And, you know, you have to realize in the light of eternity, those things mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing more important than the soul of a person to Jesus. There is nothing on this planet that is more important than the soul of another person to Jesus. You think about that. He didn't come to have fellowship with the whales and the trees and the birds. He wants fellowship with me, mm-hmm, and with you.
We're made in his image.
Made in his image, Mike. And so when you get hurt, you take a step back and you get a little more hurt. And so you really have to start to realize that, hey, they're people. God loves them. I need to love them too. And maybe they did hurt me. You can acknowledge the hurt. Hey, it did hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to let that stop me from serving God, loving God, being on the front row of my heart, because I want what he wants for me. And so I realize that those things happen. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I'm not making light. I mean, some people get hurt really bad. But ultimately, don't use that as an excuse to disobey what God has given you to do. Because when you do that, he'll take that bitterness away and he'll fill it full of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not happen over one day or 2 days or a week, but you keep on serving God and he's going to fill your cup with joy, I promise.
You know, I'm thinking about the fact that, again, we're on the eve of Thanksgiving, and it's a sad reality. It's a true reality that those that are suffering with the kind of condition of heart, unforgiveness, brokenness, perhaps bitterness, sadness, it seems to mushroom every year in December as we approach Christmas. That's one of the most difficult times for people who are depressed and yes, feel hopeless and helpless. Yes. But if those who are feeling that today would apply what you just said and say, you know, there is a God who is able to hear that and heal my heart.
Mm.
There's a God who's hearing me right now the way he has you. I mean, there you are lying in the hospital with COVID. I can't even imagine what that was like. That's not happened to me, but it's happened to many people. And there are many people who have opportunities to look at their own heart and do that evaluation as you did.
Yes.
And come up on the thought, well, I have a right to be bitter, but we really don't.
No. And listen, Mike, it is the key of unforgiveness that will let you out of the prison of bitterness, hurts, and sorrow.
Mm.
That key of forgiveness will let all those things go. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure you've heard it, that bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It just eats you up inside. And so that key of forgiveness can let all that go. But you can't do it by yourself. Mm-hmm. You've got to allow God to do it through you. And that's the whole key.
Wow. That's good stuff, my man. And I pray that people who are hearing that will apply that. If there's unforgiveness, if there's bitterness, if there's sadness, go to the Lord and say, Lord, unlock my heart. Unlock this bitterness. Take it away from me. Show me the joy of my salvation once again. You know, David did that. And David was a guy who walked into all sorts of stuff that he really shouldn't have done. And I think often if David can do that, and he was the man that was described in the Word of God as the man that was after God's own heart, and yet he was able to walk into serious, terrible, awful sin, and yet God forgave him, restored yes, to him the joy, as it says in Psalm 51, the joy of his salvation.
Amen.
You know, when I think about that, I think about the end of his life. And I think a lot of people, this is a true saying, Mike, as a true saying. See if you don't agree with this. A lot of people think because they've done stuff that they shouldn't have done, that they are forever marked by it. They are forever going to be dogged by it. But David, when he was buried, the last thing that was said, his tombstone, if you would, had this epitaph on it. He served the purpose of God in his generation.
Yes, he did what God called him to do. And it's so great that you brought that up, because there are so many that feel that you don't know what I've done before I got saved, or even since I've got saved.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, look what David did. He committed adultery and murder, and God forgave him and still used him.
And mightily.
Mightily. And look at the mighty apostle Paul. I mean, he said, yeah, I'm the chiefest of sinners. He murdered Christians before God got a hold of him. Listen, Mike, can you imagine what the conversation must have been in the first church service that the apostle Paul went to, what they were saying about it? There's the guy that killed Christians. He drags them in the street. And now he's going to say he's one of us being in church. So what a conversation that must have been, huh?
It must have been something. Oh, my goodness. Good thought. Mike Sadler is my guest. Mike, give us your web address before we go to a break, and we'll be back in a moment, but give that address.
Crossboundministry.com.
Crossboundministry.com. That couldn't be much simpler.
Yes, sir.
It's like Post Office Box 7.
Yes, sir.
Mike Sadler, my guest today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll be right back. So happy to have Mike Sadler from Crossbound Ministries, a radio program that is heard on The Shepherd, both in Gainesville and Ocala. And I know that one of the things I really wanted to mention, this is really exciting. I saw a picture of it. You put it, you had it put in your heart from the Lord to do something to basically promote your program.
Yes, sir.
And rather than buy a billboard, you made some billboards, some small signs. And how did all that happen?
Well, it was a friend of mine that actually supports us financially. He said, hey, why don't we get a billboard? I'll help you with it. And as I looked into it, I thought, wow, those are quite expensive. And we got to thinking, hey, let's make our own. And so we found a company to print the banners. And they're pretty good size. You know, they're 8 foot long, very visible.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made those up, and I didn't have nowhere to put it. But, you know, God made a place, and I was able to put one on Highway 486, which is very well trafficked, very well seen, and right on the highway. And I don't pay no rent for the spot. It just, God has opened the door. And then we were able to put another one on the corner of 491 and Highway 200. Going into Ocala. And you know, Mike, the day that I put that up, I had people start contacting me. That's how much visibility that sign gets. And it points people to listen to our ministry on Sunday at 8 o'clock, but it also points people to Christian radio, because there are many good programs on The Shepherd. There really are. And point people to Christ.
Mm.
So I'm very thankful for those doors.
Yeah. I got the picture. Somebody sent it to me and said, look at this. And it was really exciting. And right there is 720, our big frequency up in the Ocala area, actually is licensed to Hernando, but covers all of the Ocala market. And Marion County is a huge county, isn't it?
It is. It is. It is really huge. And I have plans. I have another sign that hasn't gone up yet, and it's double-sided. And I believe God's given us a place for it. I'm not going to say where yet. But it's coming soon. So there'll be a third one.
Well, let's talk about your book.
Yes, sir.
Let's what it's all about and why you wrote a book.
Well, I wrote a book because even with my own self, like you go out and witness somebody, you get that fear of, man, they're not going to like me. They don't want to hear it. And then you start thinking, well, they're a pretty good person. Those are those fiery darts the devil is shooting in your mind. And one of the biggest things I believe the devil uses against Christians, Mike, is those fiery darts of mm-hmm. fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because listen, if he can stop you from stepping out on faith, then he has stopped you from doing God's work. And so I really saw a great need in myself and within the church to have something like this, to see fear through the eyes of Scripture. Not what another mm-hmm. man says, but what does the Bible say about being fearful? And, you know, especially with this pandemic going on and COVID, It's fearful times. And so I really poured my heart in this book. It's not huge. It's about 100 pages. And you can pick up a copy on crossboundministry.com for $15. And that includes the shipping. And I mean, it's a really good read.
Fearless Christians.
Yes, fearless Christian. Doesn't mean you won't have no fear, but you view fear through the eyes of Scripture, right? Like we talked about, there's a healthy fear, the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And an unhealthy fear would be, I'm scared to give out a track, mm-hmm. right? Or I'm scared to give more to that ministry or give more to the church or whatever darts the devil shooting at you.
Or I'm afraid to trust God with something.
Yes.
That's something that I think a lot of people never get off the home base. They never step out of the batter's box in the game of their faith because of the fact that there's a lot of people that said, I don't know if I can make it all the way to first base, you know, on that run. And God's going to be with us. He's the Lord of that whole field. He's the Lord of the infield, the diamond, and all this illustration. Can you tell I'm a baseball lover?
Yes.
Like that. But I like that. We're up, we're called, we're given the task by God to stand up and to hold the bat and to take the swing
yes.
for the gospel.
Yes.
He has given us that to do. I always am amazed at how many times people said, I'm here doing the Lord's work. Well, he's actually done his work. His work is perfect. He's now called you to do your work through him. And that's, you know, I don't have to finish what God did.
That's right.
God finished what he did.
Right.
And now he's called me. Yes, I am in the Lord's work. I understand what they mean by that.
Yes.
But he's giving us a task to do
yes.
for the kingdom of God.
That's right, Mike. And if you read the back of my book, The Little Excerpt, it tells you that, you know, I'm a family man, I'm a preacher. And one of the doors that God has opened through our ministry is to help support other local churches. And so as people contact us through our radio program, the internet, we point them to the biblical local church that's near them. And because the church is very, very important to the Lord. He died for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we should get up and go. And as we talked about, you know, when I had COVID I was out of work for more than a month. And I was in the hospital for 7 days.
Now, would you have been one that would have really been affected breathing wise or something like that?
Yes, I got pneumonia on top of the COVID. Mm. And so I was very sick. Matter of fact, I lost over 25 pounds in 7 days. And so it really got a hold of me. But through that, God has allowed me to trust him even more. Because when I was in that hospital, Mike, I gave it all to him. I said, Lord, it's your job. This is your marriage. This is your home. It's all yours, Lord. And God really used something bad to do something good.
Mm.
And I'm so thankful for that. And as we talked about, many, I think, are staying out of church or watching it online. And I understand that in a way, but don't use that as an excuse just to lay out of church.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you do it once, it's easy. The second time, it's even easier. And God has called us to assemble together as people, as human beings, to have fellowship. The Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you won't get that through the screen time or watching it on your phone or TV. But when you're around your brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a commandment. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourself.
And I think it's important that we can do both of those things, that
yes.
we don't have to be careless in our assembling. And I was recently a part of a couple of well-attended events, but people were there. And yes, we had masks on. And yes, there were social distancing rules that were being observed. But, you know, we were there. And that was better than watching it on television. And I think that's something that we just got to see, that we can't let go. And I'm believing the Lord. I'm hoping for an end to all of this stuff.
Yes.
We see these TV shows and concerts and gatherings in large assembly halls, and people are there right next to each other, not a mask in sight. And I think a lot of people are falling into hopelessness, that we're never going to get back to that. And I don't believe that that's something that we should believe. I think we need to trust the Lord, but not give up right now during this time, not give up on assembling. Be careful. Do what the leaders are saying and watch over that, because there are a lot of events that are happening. All of the three events that I went to were COVID-less in terms of the people that afterwards, in other words, there was no transmission.
Right. And that's doing wise to have those. And there are different options out there. I know some churches had drive-up service. You don't even have to get out of your car. You drive up, you tune to a certain radio station, and the preacher's on there. And all I'm saying is, Mike, I don't want people to allow that to be convenient. Okay, I'm not going to church, so why should I go back?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a good thing to say. Mike Sadler is my guest today. We've only got a couple of minutes left here, Mike. Tell us again all about your radio ministry, Crossbound, a radio program on Sunday mornings.
Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And next we're going to be going through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, expository preaching. And if there's a listener out there, we want to branch off to the Orlando station very soon. And so if there's some listeners out there who like support us, hey, that would be great if God lays it on your heart. And also if there's a church out there that would like to partner with us or just have us come preach, we would love that. And as we're going through the Gospel of John, I'd like for people, when they do listen, have your Bible, open it up, see the word for yourself, what God has to say. And
I love it that when a person like yourself that is able to go out and speak, you are rooted in a local church yourself. Tell us about that one.
Yes, sir. We are rooted at Fort Cooper Baptist Church in Inverness, Florida. Marnie Palmani is the pastor there. Great pastor, great preacher. And we're faithful, and he preaches some good sermons. I know even on Wednesday night, he's going through the book of Ephesians. And they have a school there. That's where my son goes to school, Inverness Christian Academy. And so we are well involved with our local church, and because that's the heartbeat of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we try to do with our ministry, Mike, is help support the local churches. Like when people call to our ministry or write in, we point them to the closest church to them that is biblical, because that's what God would have us to do, is, you know, help support those local churches.
I love it. Mike Sadler has been my guest today on the program. Give us your website one more time.
It is crossboundministry.com.
Pretty simple. Mike, thanks for coming over today and being here in the studio with us. And friends, thank you for being with us as always here on The Shepherd. And we'll catch you next time on Afternoons with Mike.